Ladies and gentlemen, this is Impact Wrestling Superstar, Mr. Anderson, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
For the benefit of those with flash photography,
would you please shut the hell up?
Oh, yes!
Ooh, yeah!
That was what was best for business.
Duncan, you dick, that sucker!
And that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right. Welcome to another wrestling podcast. That's right. I'm Steve Credo.
And I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
Jonathan, this is episode 56, man. Can you believe it?
I cannot believe it.
It's been one heck of a ride. You know, a lot of things have been happening for us. 56 episodes in, we've talked a lot about, you know, wrestling. We talked a lot about championships. We talk a lot about family, wrestling families, a lot of different wrestling topics. But today, Jonathan, I think I want to get into a little bit of Ring of Honor since they are the talk of the town lately. Are you ready for that?
I am ready for that, and it's very convenient that that's what you're wanting to talk about because our guest today is none other than Maria Kanellis.
Wow. Hey, former WWE diva, now Ring of Honor alumni. So, hey, a lot to talk with Maria about. But, Jonathan, for everybody tuning in right now, I want to remind them to head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, the mothership of AWP. Find out all of our links. Like us, follow us, subscribe to us. And also, guys, call the AWP hotline, 802-AWP-7672. That's 802-297-7672. You know, ask us a question. Tell us, you know, your thoughts on a past show. Tell Jonathan how much he's not that great. Tell me how good I am. Anything and everything you guys want to tell us, right, Jonathan?
You're dead to me.
But yes, guys, once again, it's our new little thing. We have a little hotline. We want you to, you know, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. Maybe there's a topic we haven't talked about yet, and we'll talk about it on a future show, or we'll be happy to answer anything you bring to the table, right?
Absolutely. And I just want to point out that this is the second huge episode that you guys are getting this week. We had a very special surprise episode 55 that we talked to none other than RVD, Ken Anderson, Brian Knobbs, and Greg the Hammer Valentine. Be sure to come on out this Sunday to Citi Field for the Legends of Wrestling.
That's right, Jonathan. Now, let's get a little bit into this because I know some about Ring of Honor. I know you know a lot more about it. So, Jonathan, for the fans out there who maybe not have seen Ring of Honor yet, and if you haven't and you're listening to the show and you're a mark, you're a fan, maybe we might forget about some things talking about, but that's fine. Just feel free to tweet us or Facebook us or whatnot and let us know what we forgot. But, Jonathan, I want to get into it right now. Ring of Honor, I want to talk a little bit about the whole little special thing about Ring of Honor. Now, the Code of Honor, Jonathan, you know about the Code of Honor. Maybe you can, you know, explain this little Code of Honor to the fans out there?
Absolutely. Now, before we get into that, really, Ring of Honor was kind of an idea based on something else. There was an entire independent tournament entitled the King of the Indies. And once that happened, this guy who decided to come up with Ring of Honor said, listen, we can do that. Here, we can have an entire promotion just based around all the best independent wrestlers. And from that kind of brainchild is where Ring of Honor wrestling came from. And what separated Ring of Honor from a lot of different ones is this code of honor that you're talking about, Steve. And the code of honor is basically saying that you want to promote sportsmanship, respect and honor inside the wrestling ring. And it's defined by shaking hands before and after every match. Some of the Ring of Honor stars abide by the code of honor and others did not. It's all a personal choice. But this made for some very interesting matchups. And, you know, there was very little storylines in the beginning of Ring of Honor. It was really just about pure wrestling. And for those of you who have not watched Ring of Honor, you're learning a lot about it now, really, in the WWE. But I highly suggest going to ROHWrestling.com to kind of find out a little more about Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Jonathan. Speaking of WWE, I mean, a lot of the wrestlers and talent superstars we see today have come from Ring of Honor. You know, that's where they kind of springboarded to the WWE. One right off the start is Daniel Bryan. Jonathan, maybe give us a little bit of information about Daniel Bryan and his Ring of Honor history.
Absolutely. Now, he was in Ring of Honor. He was in the very first main event of Ring of Honor. He was amazing, kind of an underdog character, but just one of the best wrestlers they had. They called him the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. He came out to the Final Countdown by Europe, and he was a mainstay in Ring of Honor and other independent promotions prior to coming to WWE. And, you know, he really had what they call the look that most people, I guess it's like almost like an indie stigma. They looked at Daniel Bryan and they said, you know what, he's not going to make it in WWE because he's not huge. He doesn't have a lot of what they called charisma. But Daniel Bryan had it in his own way. And obviously it shined through because now he is one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling history.
That's right, Jonathan. Another superstar we could talk about briefly is Antonio Cesaro, or better known as Cesaro today, where we just keep dropping the first names. But, you know, he was the very European member of the two-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, the Kings of Wrestling. He was pretty much one of ROH's hottest tandems, Jonathan. Tell us a little bit about the Kings of Wrestling and one guy who did make it to the WWE and then actually got let go. But right now, Antonio Cesaro, Jonathan.
Yeah, Antonio Cesaro was also a member of the Ring of Honor group. He actually had hair back then. You would want to watch his matches. Claudio Castagnoli. And the tag team partner that you were speaking about was none other than Cassius Ohno. He was then known as Chris Hero. They were one of the best tag teams, I dare I say, in professional wrestling history, if not just in Ring of Honor history. They took on just amazing groups of Ring of Honor, you know, whoever they had, their best at the time. They went against a lot of great talent, and they just were probably, like I mentioned, the best that Ring of Honor had. Cesaro went around to not only Ring of Honor, Chikara, you name it. He was in Dragon Gate. He had some Dragon Gate matches and New Japan. He is just one of those guys that have been everywhere and probably, I'm going to say it, the most underrated wrestler in WWE right now.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
Now, somebody that we're going to talk about now was a very integral person in Ring of Honor towards the newer time. I would say he's somebody that's probably a big deal in the wrestling business right now. WWE champion Seth Rollins. Now, he was in Ring of Honor, but he was known as something else. Steve, do you remember what he was he was called?
Tyler Black, right? Tyler Black?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. And I saw him briefly in this. I didn't get to see. This is kind of when I was watching a little bit of Ring of Honor. I know I missed a lot before him. I was actually at Daniel Bryan's last Ring of Honor match in New York City, but I started to watch more of Ring of Honor when Seth Rollins was the champion. You know, he joined Ring of Honor in 2007 as a member of the Age of Fall. He won the tag team championships twice, and he held the world title for several months just before arriving in the WWE. So, Jonathan, I mean, as we're naming these names of names, you can see, guys, that, you know, you know, before NXT got really popular, you know, ROH was pretty much the place to be and that nice little springboard for a lot of these guys, right?
Absolutely. And this isn't going to change. This was kind of like a, I want to say like a, almost a farm club for the WWE, an, sure. an unofficial farm club for WWE. It's hard to not look at the roster now and within the past couple of years and not look at former Ring of Honor alumni. But this week we found out that Ring of Honor is coming to Destination America. They'll be joining Impact Wrestling on that station, and they're going to be on Wednesdays. So it's going to be pretty amazing to see what they can do. But right now, Ring of Honor, you would think after all these talents left Ring of Honor that they wouldn't have anybody. But there are some amazing talents in Ring of Honor right now. Some people that you should be looking forward to seeing are Mike Bennett, our guest today, Maria Kanellis. We've got Matt Taven, a local for us, a great guy. Adam Cole, Veda Scott, Moose. It's just an amazing group of people on Ring of Honor, and I highly suggest you watch them whenever they come to Destination America.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be great for them because I know, you know, this is like the first, well, the first time we can watch them up here. I get Destination America. Still a lot of people don't, but it's a lot more than what they were on before. So it's really, I think it's a breath of fresh air. I think a lot of people have just been getting sick of TNA and Impact. And, you know, just to see them on national TV is going to be really great. And, you know, the rumors going around TNA possibly, out of their contract by the end of the year with Destination America. Could Ring of Honor replace them, Jonathan? What do you think about that?
You know, they are, like I said, there's not a lot of storylines going on there. I think that Ring of Honor is really about what people want to see, and that's professional wrestling. TNA has been stepping it up. I will absolutely admit that. But I want to see what Ring of Honor can do, and maybe some cross promotion there too. I don't know. Maybe we see some Impact stars going against some Ring of Honor stars. I think that no matter what happens, it's going to be good for both companies being on this Destination America. But Steve, let's talk a little bit about some more people that came from Ring of Honor. How about you tell me a little bit about somebody who is no longer in the WWE, but was probably the most famous Ring of Honor recruit in WWE?
Yeah, Jonathan. Well, CM Punk, man, he was probably one of the last guys to actually leave Ring of Honor as CM Punk and then join the WWE as CM Punk, keeping his name. Now, granted, in recent times, we just found out that's not true anymore. But, you know, CM Punk, you know, left there, had a good run in there, had memorable matches with Samoa Joe, who just actually signed a WWE contract this week full-time. And I think CM Punk is probably one of the biggest names also who probably is kicking his butt for not sticking around just a little bit longer because, I mean, you know, as much as he probably hated it, if he just stayed around just a little bit longer, he could have, you know, seen a lot of his friends come up, like Kevin Steen, like Samoa Joe, and who knows what matches we could have seen in WWE with CM Punk, Jonathan, and all these other guys, right?
Yeah, and, you know, this is not just because of Ring of Honor. It's also has a lot to do with the people and their own talent. But, you know, you mentioned Samoa Joe, you mentioned CM Punk. But right now in NXT, some of the hottest people that are in NXT right now came from the independent system and Ring of Honor. So you have guys like Sami Zayn, and probably the biggest name going in wrestling right now is none other than the former Kevin Steen, but now Kevin Owens. So I think it's great what Ring of Honor's doing. I think it's great what they've done in the past. And I think it's also great that WWE kind of gave Ring of Honor a nod and said something like, you know, they brought in Kevin Steen, they brought in Sami Zayn, and what did they do? They started the rivalry right back up that they had in Ring of Honor. So you can definitely see that the WWE is not hiding from the fact that Ring of Honor was an entity.
Yeah, man. Now, Jonathan, we talked some names of names who we're seeing now who came from Ring of Honor, but let's speak to a name who is in Ring of Honor right now, and that's the lovely Maria Kanellis, who is joining us in the studio right now.
Big time guest, the first lady of Ring of Honor, and dare I say, the first lady of professional wrestling. Please welcome Miss Maria Kanellis.
Hello there.
I want to thank you for taking the time to join us. First things first, how are you doing these days?
I am fantastic. I just got the big news today that we're joining Destination America and are going to be part of Wednesday Night Wrestling, so I'm excited about that. I'm excited for everybody to see Ring of Honor Wrestling on national television. It's everywhere. Ask your cable provider. But, I mean, we didn't know this was happening, so I'm super excited about it.
Now, you have been through this before, being on national TV several times. What does this mean to you versus people who may not have, you know, been in that national spotlight before? Is it just like another day for you, or do you feel the same excitement as well?
You know, for me, switching over to Ring of Honor Wrestling and being a part of New Japan Wrestling, it's like watching when kids see something for the first time, or when, you know, a person goes on their first vacation down to Mexico and sees the ocean for the first time. You know, I get to relive everything through the eyes of these wrestlers and these girls and guys that have been doing it for a long time, but now they're going to get national publicity, or now they're going to get their first big match that their mom or dad gets to see. So it's, to me, it's great to be able to have experienced it already and then to re-experience with my husband.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned New Japan. You're working with both Ring of Honor and New Japan. What are some of the major differences in those two companies?
Major differences. In Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling is the number one wrestling company. It's actually financially the number two wrestling company in the entire world. So over there, we have bigger crowds. We drive by in the New Japan bus. Everybody on the street knows exactly what New Japan is. So in that sense, we have more recognition over in New Japan and over in Japan. When we come to Ring of Honor, the crowds are totally different. The crowds are a lot more lively. They get involved. They like what they like. They hate what they hate. And, you know, our fan base is very loyal. So, you know, there's two very different types of fans when it comes to Japanese fans and then the American fans. So, you know, there's similarities in the styles of wrestling. A lot of our Ring of Honor guys are huge fans of a lot of the Japanese wrestlers, especially like Jushin Liger or Okada or Tanahashi, and you might see some of those moves that the New Japan guys invented at Ring of Honor, or vice versa. You know, there's big fans of Ring of Honor guys at the New Japan locker room as well. So mutual respect there, definitely.
Now, you're a Globetrotter. We follow you on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. And every time we see someone go over to Japan wrestling, they're always finding some pretty ridiculous merchandise. What kind of Maria merchandise have you found out there that seems to be, I don't know, pretty ridiculous?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, the first thing of all of it and the most exciting thing to me is they've never had a female T-shirt out before. In the sense of a female wrestler on their T-shirts. And so the most outrageous thing that has happened is New Japan came out with a Maria T-shirt, and we sold out. So it was, that in itself is pretty incredible to me. It's a very humbling thing. But as far as other merchandise, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's, oh, a guy came up to me, and he drew this picture of me, and that's what ended up on the T-shirt. So he was, I don't know if he was selling these pictures or what he was doing, but somehow that became the graphic for the Maria Kanellis T-shirt.
Well, that's pretty amazing. There is
yeah.
There's also some exciting news. Figures Toy Company and the Wrestling Superstar or Superstore have started to release, or they're going to release, the first Ring of Honor series of action figures. So I know that Adam Cole, the Briscoes, and Kevin Steen are in the first series, and the only ones that I've heard so far about the second are the Young Bucks. But I'm hoping, just for my own selfish reasons, that I see a Kingdom set of action figures. I know you've already been an action figure, but I think it'll be pretty exciting if the Kingdom gets their own as well.
I think that might be happening, but you didn't hear it from me.
I think you just made my week. That's awesome.
I know that Mike and I are coming out very soon, and I'm sure that Taven will follow shortly after.
Now, we're based out of the Northeast, and we get to see you guys quite often. Now, you're splitting your time between Northeast Wrestling, Ring of Honor, New Japan. Is there any place left for you guys to go and take over like you have already?
It's Kingdom versus the world. We have been to Preston City Wrestling. We love it over there. It's fantastic. There's a tremendous group of guys over there. The crowd is really fun. So we've done that. I know that there's talks of us going over to Italy, and there's also talks of us going to Australia. So we are scheduled to be in a lot of different places coming up.
Now, I have to ask this as well, because being kind of now, you're from the Chicago area originally, but now you're kind of a Northeasterner, I guess is how we say that. Do you feel a connection to this area more now that you're in the Northeast?
Well, it's funny because, like, I always had a connection with this area just because, you know, Stamford, Connecticut was always the home base for WWE. So I would come up here a lot with WWE. And, you know, so I always had that connection, and I've always loved the falls here in the Northeast. So being now a student at Johnson & Wales University, I definitely am getting very comfy in the Northeast.
Well, that's good, especially after, you're still saying that after the winter that we had. So that's, I guess.
Oh, my God, that was terrible. But everybody had that winter. And now poor Texas and a few other places are having flooding problems. And, oh, it's awful.
It's ridiculous. I feel for you guys because you never really know what the situation that you guys are going to be, like, you can be driving or flying or whatever, and I just feel like I always worry that some, you know, that you guys will get trapped in these situations, but so far.
I have before. I got stuck in the Northeast at one point, and we ended up having to drive to a Monday Night Raw because we got trapped and couldn't fly out. But you still have to make it to Raw. So we ended up driving, I think it was 9 hours, or no, it was longer than that. It was like 12 hours down to a show. It was insanity. But that's part of wrestling, you know. And we could have different jobs to where we don't get to see all these amazing places. So I try and keep it in perspective, even when we are having flight delays.
Now, you just mentioned the WWE. You were actually a part of the WWE Divas Search. And if you didn't know, they are actually bringing back that contest. If you had any words of advice for any girls looking to get into the search, what would they be?
Be the best you possible. And I think that goes for any type of entertainer. People get too caught up into thinking, oh, I got to be what they want. And that isn't necessarily the case. The truth is, casting directors, you know, scouts for the NFL or, you know, the WWE recruiters, they have a picture in their head of what they want and their vision for a diva, their vision for a wrestler. And so instead of trying to portray something that you're not, be exactly who you are, because exactly who you are is going to be different from anybody else. And I think that that definitely shows down in NXT right now with Charlotte and with Sasha Banks. I mean, they are themselves. They believe in who they are as wrestlers and as individuals. And so they continue doing that and pushing. And because of that, they've gotten tremendous fame and also, you know, the accolades that go along with it.
Women's wrestling's kind of been a hot button issue as of late. Are you happy with the way that women are starting to get portrayed in professional wrestling?
Yes, I am. I'm very excited for all the changes that are happening. I think that there is definitely more in the future that can be done and that will be done. I know that when I was in WWE, we fought very hard to get more time on television, to get more storylines, more. And I think that from then until now, because of all the pushing for the female wrestling movement, it's finally getting there. And that's exciting. And I'm very proud to be a part of it and proud to have been one of the first females to wrestle over in New Japan. So it's exciting for me. It really is.
Now the Ring of Honor has another national TV deal. Do you think it's time for Ring of Honor to finally get its own recognized women's championship?
I do think so. I think that there's a lot of females that are out on the independent scene and females that have came through Ring of Honor that would be a tremendous asset to our locker room and to our television product.
Now, is it strange for you being relatively young still and being considered a veteran in the business?
It's funny because it's like every year or every couple years, I'm like, all right, we're winding this down. This is starting to wind down. This is what's going to happen. And like, I remember last year about this time, Mike and I were talking. I was like, okay, well, maybe next year, you know, I'll take a step back from wrestling, just work for Ring of Honor, and that'll be enough. And I'll go to school and, you know, focus on that. And for some reason, all of a sudden, I'm getting the phone calls from New Japan and all these other international companies, and we're taking the kingdom around the world. So, yes, it's very strange to be considered a veteran because in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm still learning. And I would say to anybody that wants to be in wrestling, become a manager because you see everything from a different perspective. But it's a little strange sometimes when I'm asked advice about certain things because I do still feel a little new. But at the same time, it's exciting to watch people grow.
Well, and it's great to see, once again, like we mentioned earlier, you're going to be back on that national platform, and there's a lot of people that are coming into Ring of Honor or who have been there that they've been working towards this, but they haven't had that, where you're, once again, the veteran where they can look to you for certain, you know, certain things to do, or you may have positive criticism for them or whatever. So I think it's great all around for Ring of Honor and that they've got a good mix right now. They've got people that have never really been there. They've got people that have been on the independents for a long time. They got people like you. So I'm very excited. I think Wednesday night has now been changed forever. So we're definitely looking forward to seeing what you guys have to offer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be amazing for people to actually see what Ring of Honor does have to offer. Because I think a lot of people have heard the name Ring of Honor through either hearing CM Punk say it or hearing Daniel Bryan say it. And so now, for the first time, they're going to be able to see what Ring of Honor is really about.
And, you know, just the word down the pike was that Samoa Joe is part of NXT, but he's also going to be doing Ring of Honor. So I just think that really the wrestling business of 2014 is completely different than what we've got so far in 2015. And I think that it's, you know, the hottest time for professional wrestling, probably since I'd say the Attitude Era. So it's really going to be good for everybody involved, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's always been to where wrestling is that wheel, you know, sometimes you're on top and sometimes you're not. And wrestling right now is very hot.
Now, you were and continue to be a very positive role model for not only women, but everyone. Why is this important to you?
Okay. I remember watching Lita before I was ever a part of WWE. And where I grew up, women were not as much the strong individuals that Lita is. So for me, watching wrestling and watching Lita do her thing was really an inspiration to me. So if I can give back in that way, it's really an incredible place to be.
That's great. You know, we see sometimes, I guess, as a performer, as a entertainer, as a celebrity, it may be you don't see the results right away, but you know, you look back and they just showed like when AJ Lee met Lita for the first time and she was like crying. And so you guys have a big responsibility that you, some people take lightly and some people don't, but I think it's great that you try to be that positive role model. And you know, you never know, someday down the road, somebody's going to say that Maria Kanellis is the reason why they are the way they are right now. So I think that's,
well, I actually, there's this girl, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to embarrass her or anything like that, but she's a female wrestler, and she came up to me and she's like, oh, I met you when I was 8 and now I'm training to be a wrestler. One, I was like, I'm so old, because this girl's now 18 years old, and two, it was really incredible. I guess I had met her at a restaurant, and she was telling me when she was 8 years old, you know, I want to be a wrestler, you know, So she was asking me about it when she was 8, and now she's doing it. So I never take it lightly. I try and remember who is listening and what I'm trying to portray. But I also know, like, everybody makes mistakes, and I've made mistakes in the past as well. And so I want to be a realist to people as well, that it's okay to slip and fall and, you know, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, as long as you recover and learn from it. I think that's the biggest thing, because a lot of times if you just focus on your failures, you're never going to get anywhere. You just kind of got to be like, okay, that happened, and now I'm going to learn, and I will move forward from this.
Well, that, I mean, as long as you have that attitude, I guess, because it's been said that professional wrestling is sort of a negative business or whatever. So I think you guys have the right tools and you're doing great. And I'm speaking about you and your new husband, Mike Bennett. You got married last year. How is married life treating you so far?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better husband. He's a very beautiful man, and I am informed of this on a daily basis from everyone on Instagram and Twitter and every other social media known to man. But he's also very kind, and I think that goes a long way. I think that being a nice person really goes a long way. And you know, the old saying was in wrestling that you had to be a jerk. And I think that Mike and several others that I know are changing that.
Now, what is the biggest thing that has changed with you being married?
Well, now he's breaking stuff. That's changed. You know? I'm just kidding. Currently breaking everything. What happened?
Thanks a lot, Mike. I hope that's not the good china. It better not be.
No, we don't really have good china. We have plates that are used, and that's it. The biggest thing that's changed is we moved in together in January. We hadn't lived together really before. We kind of lived together out in Los Angeles for about 6 months, but this is our first place that we actually picked out together, moved in together, and so we're discovering all kinds of things, like how he hates putting together everything from IKEA and how I get very picky on how the pillows need to be on the bed when we're making the bed when his mom comes over. So, you know, we're definitely learning all kinds of new things.
Well, if you guys can get through IKEA without getting divorced, then you're definitely doing something right, because
Well, I'll let you know. We're going to IKEA tomorrow. So.
Oh, God. I will suggest the Swedish meatballs in the cafeteria, but other than that...
Oh, Swedish meatballs. All right. We will have to test them out.
Yeah, other than that, it's a nightmare in there. The carts, like, go sideways. You'll think of it tomorrow, but... You spoke about Los Angeles. You are obviously an accomplished actress. I just recently watched a few of your Funny or Die episodes, Not That Tom and Jerry. They're pretty amazing, I have to say.
Thank you. You know, it's funny because when I first read the scripts, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Is this really funny? I don't get it. Is it? And then I met the actors and just how good they are. Oh my gosh. Peter, the guy that plays Jerry, he's fantastic. So, like, I didn't realize how good it was actually going to be until I was on set.
Now, Maria, do you have any other projects in the works as far as acting goes right now?
As far as acting goes, no. I kind of just wait and see what's coming up next for me, because for the longest time, I was like crazy lady trying to every single thing under the sun to find all these projects and things to do and all this stuff, and I just drove myself nuts. Mm-hmm. So I have some great friends that either own production companies or are directors, and so they call me and they're like, hey, I have this thing coming up. Would you be interested? And that's kind of where it ends up happening, is all the networking. But we do have our podcast coming back out. Mike and Maria Wonderland is coming back out, but we moved to the Geek Nation. So we're really excited about that. I think there's something like 20 million unique viewers per month. So we're really excited about that. That should be up in the next week or so. And so Mike and I will be back podcasting.
That is my second favorite podcast, if you can believe it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I would say number
one. We are excited to come back.
I would say number one, but I'm also a podcaster, so I have to say it, right? you've also spent a lot of time in the recording studio with your music. And I know you're not doing anything else right now. So is there any chance that we'll hear any new music from you anytime soon?
I don't know. I don't like performing music in front of people is what I found. Okay. I love to write it. I love being in studio. But as funny as it is, for some reason on stage, I go crazy. And I can't stage fright or something. So I don't enjoy that part. If that were to ever change, I would love to do it, because writing is just such a relief. But you never know.
Well, have you watched Coyote Ugly? I'm just throwing it out there.
I have. Okay. It's fantastic. And I love that story because I always wanted to write for Pink. Pink was always my female singer. That I just loved her. I thought her song, the songs that she sang were great. She just did her own thing, and that was cool too. So I would love to write for her.
So what kind of music are you listening to right now, Maria?
I really love the Congos. I'm Only Joking is like my favorite song that I drive around in. And it's just really like the drums in it are fantastic, and if I was still a dance teacher, that would be the song that I'd want to create a dance to. So when it comes to music and I, if you can work out to it or if you can dance to it, I really enjoy it. But then on Sunday, we had Mike's party and we listened to Hawaiian music all day. So really eclectic music. Mike loves Kid Rock and we listen to country. So it's a mix of everything.
Well, I have to say, music, acting, wrestling, is there anything that Maria Kanellis is not good at?
I'm a jack of many trades, but probably an expert at none. I try, but maybe I do a good job of hiding it. What am I not good at? Let me ask Mike. I'm really trying hard at school right now, so... I've been doing all right at that. What am I not good? Oh, I'm not good at arguing. I'm terrible at arguing because I get vicious.
Okay.
And Mike always has to like be like, okay, just because we're arguing right now does not mean that I'm going to leave you. Does not mean that I hate your guts. He's like, we're just arguing. I'm really bad at arguing. Yeah.
Well, that's as of a list of things that you could be bad at. That's not a terrible thing to be bad at. So.
We've seen a lot of wrestling autobiographies come out recently. Have you ever thought about just writing your own?
Yes. And Mike is on my case about doing that. And I want to. It's just a matter of finding the right person to write with. Because I want somebody to come from it or come at it from a really humanistic approach and not a wrestling fan approach. Because I've had a few people that have came up to me and they wanted to write it for me, and I just don't want it to come out as another wrestling autobiography per se. I'd rather it be a life one, because I've been in wrestling for 11 years, but before that, I danced for 17 years. I started at the age of 5. And I did ballet, tap, jazz, all those different classes. And so I did that as well. And then I lived out in L.A., and I did the acting, you know, crazy, going from audition to audition. And so I'd rather it be more humanistic than a wrestling side of things. I'd rather put wrestling in a very real tone.
Okay. All right. Now, you'll be joining a very long list of talent of the past and present during the New England Fan Fest this year. It's June 27th at the Providence Convention Center in Rhode Island. Who are you most looking forward to seeing out of the talent that's going to be there? Obviously, you're probably excited to, you know, interact with your fans, but we have names like Goldberg, Jim Ross. There's going to be a lot of former divas. Is there anybody that you haven't seen for a while that you're really looking forward to seeing?
Goldberg is a big teddy bear. So every time I see him, he gives the best hug. So I would say Goldberg.
Well, I'm going to take that as a challenge now, because if Goldberg's giving good hugs, I'm going to have to get one from him too, I guess.
He's fantastic. Big teddy bear.
You thought that I was going to say you, but I had to say Goldberg because Mike is in the room with you.
Oh, well, no, it's okay. Mike is the most unjealous person ever. Sometimes I'm like, are you really with me? Are we really, you know, together? Because that guy just said whatever, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Now, you're a part of the event last year as well. Is this one of your favorite events that you do during the year?
I do enjoy it. When it comes to signing, this is right up there with WrestleMania weekend, for sure.
That's awesome. Now, rumor has it that you'll be taking part of a bikini photo op this year. I was just wanting some clarification. Does that mean that the fans have to wear the bikini, or you're going to be wearing the bikini?
No, the fans do, because I do not have a tan. So these white legs of mine that are so white, they kind of resemble blue. I'm not wearing the bikini. It's all the fans. Okay. Please come, men, in your Speedos.
I cannot wait for this now. This is going to be amazing. Last book.
Lightning round.
I am reading The Art of War.
Funniest rumor you have heard about yourself?
Ooh, funniest rumor. Oh my God, let me think. I don't know. I heard at one point that me and Matt Hardy were dating. That was pretty funny.
Wow.
because at the time I was with somebody else. I was like, is this really happening? I didn't know. Somebody please tell me.
Wow. Guilty pleasure.
Mac and cheese. Just had it today, actually.
Are we talking out of the box, or are we talking just a really good mac and cheese?
Well, if it's out of the box, I like the organic one. I don't know what is the actual name of it. It has a bunny on it.
Yes, okay.
Annie's homegrown, and then if it's, I cook delicious baked mac and cheese, so if we're talking about homemade, it's mine.
One thing you still have yet to accomplish in the wrestling business?
One thing, going back to WWE. That one would be, yeah.
We can't wait to see you at New England Fan Fest. Is there anything recently other than Ring of Honor that's coming up, and where can people keep up with you guys?
I'm on Twitter at Maria L. Canellis, and I'm on Facebook at Official Maria Canellis. It's my fan page. If you think you're talking to me, you are not, because I don't talk to anybody on Facebook. So my only Facebook that I talk to and that is for fans is Official Maria Canellis. My personal page you can't get a part of unless you're related to me.
Awesome.
And my Instagram is Maria Canellis. Mike is Real Mike Bennett, and that's for Twitter. Hey, babe, what's your Instagram? Huh? The Real Mike Bennett on Instagram. And then he follows everyone on Facebook, so he likes to be friends with everyone, although other people don't like to be friends with him. So there you have it. On Facebook, he will friend you.
Well, when is the podcast coming back?
It should be back within the next week. We're recording it tonight, actually. So I've been on the phone so much today because everybody is very excited about Destination America, and I talked to Ring of Honor earlier today about it and everything. So I'm just going to be recording stuff all day long, and our podcast is one of them.
Awesome. And the last thing that I'm going to ask you, I did this at Danbury, Connecticut for Northeast Wrestling. I'm throwing it out there again. I saw that there's some new members of the Kingdom of Chaos, mm-hmm. possibly. So,
yes.
I'm throwing it out there again, and I don't know if I have to get a grassroots movement or what I have to do, but they told me you're the person to talk to. What do I have to do to get into the Kingdom?
I don't know. I mean, we have honorary members at this point. So you can be an honorary member of the Kingdom.
Oh, my God. This is the best. I'm going to bring you so much mac and cheese at the New England Fan Fest.
No, I'll be in my bikini. Well, you can't bring me mac and cheese there.
I'm bringing you a case, and that's it. It's settled. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Have a great night. Good luck with the podcast. Good luck with Ring of Honor. Good luck with everything. Happy belated birthday to Mike, and just congrats on all your success.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Maria, for joining us. And you heard it, Steve. I am now an honorary member of the Kingdom. So thank you, Maria. We can't wait to see you at New England Fan Fest that we will be a part of June 27th. You can come by. Steve and I will be doing a live show that day. But come up and meet not only Maria, but Bill Goldberg will be there, Greg the Hammer Valentine. Anybody else you can think of?
Yeah, Steve? Buddy. Jim Ross. We've got Zeus stopping by. There's going to be a lot of great guests there, guys. NewEnglandFanFest.com for more information. Jonathan, though, a little bit more about Ring of Honor, man. The championships. Let's talk about some of the championships they have. Anything differentiate between them and some other companies?
Well, they have what I like to call it's the television championship. And their champion right now is Jay Lethal. He is one of probably the best wrestlers that hasn't really been in WWE right now. You guys have seen him in TNA as Black Machismo. But he is their world television champion. And that's a belt that we haven't seen in a long time. So I like that they have that belt. They don't have a lot of belts, and that's probably something that we'll get into here in a second. But they also have the tag team championship. And I'm just asking, do you know who their tag team champions are right now?
I do not know. Who are they?
They are The Addiction, and that is Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. If you guys have watched their body of work in TNA, they are also very good. They defeated Red Dragon to become the tag team champions. And, you know, the tag teams in Ring of Honor are doing really well. There's another one, War Machine, that's coming up through the ranks. And they're guys to look out for sure. Not to mention the Kingdom that are in there as well. So, and then, obviously, a promotion wouldn't be anything without a world champion. And right now, their world champion is none other than one half of the Briscoe brothers, Jay Briscoe. And he defeated Michael Elgin for that title. And he's been the champion since last year, September. Wow. Of last year. So as you can see, there's one that's kind of missing there, Steve. And we spoke with Maria Kanellis. There is no women's champion in Ring of Honor right now. Do you think that that is a travesty?
Well, the way they use women, not Ring of Honor, but just the way a lot of promotions use women right now, it is kind of a travesty. I mean, I know they don't really have a lot of women in there to actually, you know, really have a women's championship belt around, but it would be nice to see it, and especially when they come on to Destination America, a lot more eyes on them. Maybe it's something they will add to their arsenal. But, you know, like you said, the TV championship, not a lot of companies have it. WWE doesn't even have it. And you think, you know, in this day and age, especially with the internet and whatnot, we maybe even get like a network champion. But, you know, TV championship, you know, it's definitely different. And, you know, it's good to hear what other companies are doing. But interesting enough, Jonathan, I have to ask you, do you consider Ring of Honor an indie, or could they be a viable number three for so-and-so competition for the big WWE?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think that I ever consider them as an indie. I guess that a lot of people use that term because they weren't as mainstream, but they've been on Sinclair channels for a long time now, so they've actually been, you know, they've had television deals, they've had DVD distribution, so I think in the very, very beginnings, maybe you could call them an independent, but I would definitely say that they're in the running for number three promotion, and at times maybe number two. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, man. So it's interesting, because now that you said that, I have another question for you, Jonathan. Coming up pretty soon this week, you know, we're gonna have a new like Wednesday night war, if you will. Ring of Honor, TNA, and NXT are all going to be on Wednesday nights. Is this just too much wrestling for a fan, or what do you think? Are we going to have a little a war going on now, or what?
Well, I don't think it's too much wrestling, because I don't think that that's ever happened. Not for me anyway yet. I don't know that we're going to have much of a war, because with the advent of DVR and the network and all of that stuff, if you really want to watch these things, you can watch them whenever you want. But I think that probably, and this is just me being honest, NXT is probably going to be the number one on Wednesdays. And for a while, I think that Ring of Honor is going to be a number two. And then TNA probably is going to be three, just because Ring of Honor is going to be new and exciting. But I think it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. Yeah. And without all these guys coming through and stuff, then we wouldn't even be talking right now about this. So kudos to everybody involved, and I'm just happy for Ring of Honor. I'm happy for Impact Wrestling, and I'm obviously happy for all the great things that NXT is doing right now.
Yeah, man, and it's going to be a fun night, because, I mean, you're going to have Ring of Honor followed by TNA, but then also if you tune into the network, you'll have NXT. I'm going to be curious, though, to kind of see what the ratings are. Did Ring of Honor get more than TNA? Or did, you know, did Ring of Honor benefit TNA with some viewers hopping over, or what? I know it's not going to be like the Monday Night Wars, but it should be interesting to see what happens with all the companies involved. I know it's not like the 90s and whatnot and all those big wars going on, but like I said, it's going to be one heck of a busy night, Jonathan, on Wednesday nights from now on for being a wrestling fan. So I guess you're going to have to choose your poison, pick what show you want to watch, or in this day and age, DVR them all and then head on over to the network and watch NXT. But, I'm kind of interested to see what happens and, what the end game for all this will be. But, speaking of that, Jonathan, a little bit about Ring of Honor. We talked earlier in the show about, you know, Samoa Joe and whatnot, and names coming over from Ring of Honor to the WWE. As we've seen, Samoa Joe has gone from Ring of Honor to Impact, back to Ring of Honor. Now he's on NXT right now as Samoa Joe. Do you think, Jonathan, as a personal question, do you think guys coming from Ring of Honor, or honestly, this could go a little bit as TNA too, but do you think guys coming from these two companies should go to the main roster, or should they all hop onto NXT, do a few things, and then go onto the main roster? I don't know. Is it just a different formula for depending on what guy it is?
You know, I don't think that. Yeah, I think that what you said is really the best way. It depends on who it is, but what better way? Because to be completely honest, right now NXT's got a lot of buzz, and a lot of these guys have history with other guys. So let's say somebody from Impact, like Bobby Roode, okay? Let's say he comes over from Impact and goes to WWE. Well, he doesn't really have any history with anybody, so I would say put him on the main roster. He's been wrestling for a long time, and then just debut him on the main roster. But in the same token, if Austin Aries comes over, well, guess what? Austin Aries has fought Kevin Steen. He's fought Sami Zayn. He's fought Cesaro. He's fought all those guys. So put him down in NXT just so you can kind of get that rub from him. So it just, I think it really depends on who comes over, really, is what I'm saying.
Sure, it should be interesting because, I mean, we're so used to growing up to where you're watching Raw and all of a sudden on Monday night, boom, out comes, you know, X-Pac from WCW or somebody comes out from another promotion and whatnot. And that was the fun part of the Monday Night Wars back then, to where you never know who would pop up on what show. And nowadays, you know, it's kind of been, you know, no matter where you wrestled or what kind of fame you had, it's almost seemingly that, you know, now you go to NXT, now you learn it a little bit different, and then you're brought up. So there's really no surprises anymore, and I really hope we get some good surprises coming up very soon. Besides NXT, I want to see a lot of these guys just come from ROH or TNA or whatnot, just to go over to the main shows like Raw or SmackDown or whatnot. It should be interesting, though. I think the next few years are going to be interesting, especially with all these companies being on major cable networks now. And, you know, who knows what will happen for Ring of Honor. But, Jonathan, we talked a little bit about Ring of Honor. I know we scraped the surface, just touched it a little bit, just touched the waters with Ring of Honor. I know we can go into it a lot more, but maybe we'll save that for another day or a rainy day. But, Jonathan, I mean, what else about Ring of Honor did we leave out? Anything that we can close the show with?
You know, I think that just like the Code of Honor, we should probably just shake hands and leave for right now, and then, you know, come back next week with another amazing show.
That's right. Well, guys, if you're not listening right now, you can't see this, but right now we just did the Mega Powers handshake for our Code of Honor, Jonathan. Till next week, it's been a blast.
Community calendar.
Saturday, August 1st at 7 p.m., Wrestling Under the Stars 4 for Northeast Wrestling. Come see Rey Mysterio, the Hardy Boys, Alberto El Patron, Velvet Sky, Mickey James, the Young Bucks, Samoa Joe, and Northeast Wrestling champion Matt Taven. Guys, head on over to northeastwrestling.com for more information and to purchase tickets today.
All right, everybody, listen up. On July the 18th from 12 to 2 p.m., another wrestling podcast will be live at Tito Santana's Taqueria in Beacon, New York, with none other than Tito Santana himself. Come on out, get a picture, get an autograph, and there's going to be a special combo that if you get a picture and autograph with Tito, you get a free taco. And you know that is one of my mottos in life. That you do anything for a free taco. So come on out, support another wrestling podcast, support this great local business, and come meet Tito Santana. Arriba!
We want to thank you guys for listening today. Every week we create something for you to listen to, and it's absolutely free. We are the Wrestling Fans Podcast, because after all, we're fans also. Help us out by subscribing to our show on iTunes. While you're there, you can rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com to find out more about upcoming guests and where we may pop up. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and buy an official AWP shirt from prowrestlingtees.com. We couldn't do the show without you, so please tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.